This is Akashvani, a review of today's Parliament proceedings read by Renuka. First from the Rajya Sabha, writer is Sanjeev Chopra of PTI. The Rajya Sabha today passed the Appropriation No. 3 Bill 2026, which authorizes the withdrawal of funds from the Consolidated Fund of India to cover excess expenditure of around 54,067 crore rupees incurred on certain services during the financial year ending on March 31, 2023. The bill was cleared with a voice vote by the Upper House after a brief discussion and returned to the Lok Sabha. Lok Sabha has already passed this bill on Tuesday. This completed the parliamentary process for passing the money bill. Replying to the debate on the bill, Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman said this is the demand for excess grant for expenditure undertaken in the financial year of 2022-23 on just two accounts. Explaining further on the demands, the Finance Minister said one excess demand arises from a particular court order that was on the Railway Ministry for 196.44 crore rupees. The second demand pertains to a larger amount of 53,871 crore rupees for repayment of the debt. Finance Minister said the nature of debt receipts is against the issuance of securities and therefore has no fiscal impact. Responding to the remarks made by a member representing Jammu and Kashmir J&K, the minister said the centre will ensure that the people of J&K are supported and taken care of because we are all part of one country. Highlighting two things of very big significance that the government has done for the J&K, she said it was because the government strongly believes that abrogation of Article 370 also proves that J&K is an integral part of India, inclusive of those which are occupied by Pakistan illegally. She said that the entire salary and pension of J&K police, which is approximately 13,000 crore rupees, is being met by the government of India on an annual basis. The minister said that the union government has also helped restructure the entire debt of the union territory of J&K. Sitharaman informed the House that we paid back the entire debt of Ladakh and after having taken care of readjusting and restructured debt of Jammu and Kashmir. Also, for the financial year of 2024-25 and 25-26, an additional amount of 5,000 crore rupees each year has been given over and above the revised estimates of their budgets, just to make sure the urgent requirements of the J&K administration are met and it is not left without supporting them. The Finance Minister pointed out that around 1,350 crore rupees has been given since 2021-22 to support hydel power projects of J&K. Besides, over 5,166 crore rupees was given to it under special assistance. She recalled that after the abrogation of Article 370 in 2019, J&K was under central administration until such time as the elected government came to power. She said the union government took a very liberal view because it genuinely wanted to get the financial health of J&K in order before the elected government came to power. Earlier, the House witnessed several disruptions as opposition members created uproar and repeated their demand for a statement from Home Minister Amit Shah on the issue of police action against protesting students at Jantar Mantar in New Delhi. The House witnessed two adjournments in the pre-lunch session and one in the post-lunch session. When the appropriation bill was taken up after lunch hour and the Congress and some opposition members staged walkout from the House over their demand for the Home Minister's statement in the House. The Upper House saw the first adjournment within half an hour of beginning of the day's proceedings due to slogan shouting by the opposition members. Soon after the listed papers were tabled, the Chairman Radhakrishnan proceeded with the zero hour, but the Congress members demanded that the Leader of Opposition Mallikarjun Kharge be allowed to speak. The Congress and other opposition members started shouting slogans on various issues, even as the Chairman repeatedly asked them to return to their seats. As the Chair allowed Kharge to speak, the Treasury bench members objected to it, forcing the Chair to adjourn the proceedings till noon. When the House met at 12 noon and Chairman C.P. Radhakrishnan called for question hour, members of the opposition parties continued to raise slogans demanding the Home Minister's presence in the House. The Chair repeatedly asked the protesting members not to shout and that they would be given a chance to put forth their views. The Chairman then called the Leader of Opposition to speak. Amid the objections by the Treasury bench, Kharge said, "It's my right what to speak, when to speak, how to speak." He said this after Parliamentary Affairs Minister Kiran Rijiju cited rules to say that a member cannot repeat the same thing every day. He was referring to Kharge's demand that the Home Minister should speak in the House. This led to heated exchange between the opposition and ruling party members. Then the chairman, C.P. Radhakrishnan, asked the Parliamentary Affairs Minister to echo the sentiments of the opposition to the Home Minister. He said, as a Parliamentary Affairs Minister, you can echo the sentiments of the opposition to the Home Minister. However, Rijiju objected to Kharge's demand, saying the member cannot dictate which minister should come and when. At this, the chairman once again requested Kiran Rijiju to apprise the Home Minister of the feelings of opposition. Amid the continuous protest, the chair continued with the question hour for some time, but it adjourned the proceedings till 2:15 p.m. When the House met at 2:15 p.m, it was again adjourned for half an hour. At 2:45 p.m, Deputy Chairman Harivansh took up the appropriation bill and asked members to speak. Some opposition members, including those of the Congress, staged a walkout. Later, while making his special mention, Janata Dal United Rajya Sabha member Sanjay Kumar Jha urged the government not to renew the 1996 Farakka Water Sharing Treaty with Bangladesh in its present form, which is expiring on 12th of December this year. He said that Bihar's long-term water security and developmental needs must be safeguarded before any fresh arrangement is finalized. And now, a review of proceedings in the Lok Sabha. Writer is Anjali Ojha of PTI. Proceedings of Lok Sabha were disrupted once again on Thursday amid opposition protests over police action against students and other issues. The House witnessed its first adjournment shortly after meeting at 11 a.m, and proceeding remained stalled yet as a bill was passed in the post-lunch session before being adjourned for the day. Soon after the House met at 11 a.m, the House marked the anniversary of the bombings at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Members stood in silence to pay tribute to the victims. Thereafter, opposition members started shouting slogans and demanding the presence of Home Minister Amit Shah in the House over the police action against student protesters on 20th of July in New Delhi. Some members were also seen displaying placards. As the din continued, Speaker Om Birla reminded members that the question hour is an important part of parliamentary proceedings and lamented that it has not been allowed to function even once since beginning of the monsoon session on July the 20th. He also accused the protesting members of lowering the dignity of the House by shouting slogans and inappropriately displaying placards. Amid the continued uproar, the proceedings were adjourned till 2 p.m. When the House met again at 2 p.m, it passed the Taxation and Other Laws Amendment Bill without a debate due to persistent sloganeering by the opposition members over a number of issues, including alleged theft of donations at the Ram Temple in Ayodhya. After the passage of the bill, through which the government also amended the Payment and Settlement Systems Act 2007, the House was adjourned for the day. The bill proposes to attract more foreign capital, promote manufacturing of domestic electronic goods, and make it easier for foreign cloud companies to use Indian data centers by providing process certainty. The bill also proposes to remove the linkage between the Payment and Settlement Systems Act and the Income Tax Act and give a legal ground to the government to modify the zero MDR framework on UPI and RuPay card transactions. At present, banks and payment system providers cannot directly or indirectly charge users for payment made through UPI and RuPay debit cards. The bill proposes to allow the central government to decide through notification which electronic payment modes of transactions must remain free. The Taxation and Other Laws Amendment Bill 2026 replaces the June 5th ordinance that provided IT exemption to income from interest income and capital gains made by FPIs from investment in G-Secs. The bill proposes to make it easier for fund managers to relocate to India but cutting down on the list of conditions that these funds will have to satisfy to ensure that their global income does not get taxed in India. To encourage domestic manufacturing by giving policy certainty, the bill extends till 2040-41 the income tax exemption currently available to foreign companies that engage a contract manufacturer in India for producing electronic goods indigenously. Specified electronic items mentioned in the bill include mobile phones, laptops, personal computers, tablets, servers, and their key parts and accessories. To support component supply for electronic factories, the bill proposes IT exemption for 15 years till 2040-41 to foreign companies that store components in customs warehouses to further supply them to a contract manufacturer in India. The bill also removes the approval and notification requirements for foreign cloud companies that use Indian data centers. It also proposes that Indian data centers be run on a leased basis rather than only under direct ownership. According to the Ministry of Finance, the proposals in the bill share a single purpose of making India a more attractive and predictable place for global capital, manufacturing and business to come here and stay. When the chair called RSP member N.K. Premchandran to move a statutory resolution disapproving the ordinance, he did not speak. The bill was then put to vote and passed by a voice vote without a debate. This is the seventh bill presented in the Lok Sabha during the ongoing session and the fifth one to be passed without a debate. The House had discussed the bill to amend anti-paper leak law for 10 hours. A bill to make insult to national song Vande Mataram a punishable offence was discussed briefly, with just two members participating in the debate. Earlier in the day, Speaker Om Birla had adjourned the House till 2 p.m. soon after it met due to persistent sloganeering by opposition members. Today was the 14th day where the House, which started on July the 20th, could not complete the question hour. So far, the Lok Sabha has passed six bills during the ongoing session, but the question hour could not be taken up. In a written reply in the House, Housing and Urban Affairs Minister Manohar Lal stated that according to the 2011 census, over 9.38 lakh people in urban areas were homeless, while 17.4% of the urban population lived in slums. The minister said a technical group constituted by the ministry had estimated the urban housing shortage at 1.878 crore houses at the beginning of the 12th five-year plan in 2012, with the shortage being highest among the economically weaker sections and lower income groups who are the main beneficiaries under the Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana Urban. The minister said the Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana Urban, which was launched in 2015, provides all weather pakka houses with basic civic amenities to the eligible urban beneficiaries. He said that under this scheme, 111.48 lakh houses have been sanctioned, whereas another 16.20 lakh houses sanctioned under PMAY Urban 2.0, which has been launched in September 2024 with the objective to support 1 crore additional eligible beneficiaries over 5 years. He said the scheme follows a demand-driven approach, under which states and union territories assess housing demand and submit proposals. The minister added that more than 2 crore houses are expected to be sanctioned under the two phases of the scheme, exceeding the assessed urban housing demand reported by the states and union territories. In another written reply in the House, Minister of State for Petroleum and Natural Gas Suresh Gopi said 28 hydrocarbon discoveries have been notified across the country during the last 3 years. He said, newly discovered oil and natural gas fields undergo a series of technical and commercial evaluations before commercial production begins. These include appraisal drilling, reservoir studies, extended well testing, preparation of field development plans, obtaining statutory and environmental clearances, development drilling and installation of production facilities. The minister stated that the start of commercial production depends on the successful completion of these activities as well as the commercial viabilities of the discoveries. The minister said the government has introduced several policy measures to speed up exploration and production of oil and natural gas in the country, and the Union Cabinet has also approved the National Offshore Exploration Scheme under Samudra Manthan with a Phase 1 outlay of over 84,000 crore rupees till 2030-31. In response to a question on Namami Gange, Minister of State for Jal Shakti Raj Bhushan Chaudhary said that under the Namami Gange mission, a sewage treatment capacity of 4,263 million litres per day has been created till June this year. Citing the Central Pollution Control Board's 2025 report on polluted river stretches, the minister said pollution levels in the main stem of the Ganga have improved in Uttarakhand and West Bengal, while partial improvement has been recorded in Uttar Pradesh. He added that biomonitoring carried out during 2024-25 found the biological water quality in the Ganga and its tributaries to be predominantly in the good to moderate category, indicating the river's ability to sustain aquatic life. The minister further stated that biodiversity conservation has been made an integral part of the Namami Gange program through scientific research, habitat restoration and species recovery. He said surveys covering about 7,680 kilometers of river stretches have documented over 3,000 crocodiles, and he said more than 2.05 crore fresh seeds have been released into the Ganga and its tributaries. Meanwhile, replying to a questioner on impact of El Nino on hydropower, Minister of State for of Power, Sripad Naik said the ministry has reviewed the likely impact. And that is the end of parliament review.